The scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for August 20th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review the Western and Southern Open. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for any last-minute U.S. Open packages, as well as for this week with the Stowe Lodge Mountain Classic. Let's introduce our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing really well. I'm doing even better because in 4 days I'm leaving for New York for the U.S. Open. So super pumped about that, as well as seeing you guys. And it's going to be an awesome trip and looking forward to, you know, ending the Grand Slam season in NYC. So really looking forward to that, Parsa. But before we get into that, we got to review the events that, you know, occurred today in Cincinnati with Garbine Muguruza slaying Simona Halep 1-0 to win her sixth career title. You know, she's following up a nice lead after winning Wimbledon a few weeks ago. And then we had on the men's side, Grigor Dimitrov winning his first ever Masters 1000 title against first-time Masters finalist Nick Kyrgios, who had a tremendous week himself, you know, in straight sets 3 and 5. So a lot to talk about there. I mean, Parsa, it was an interesting Cincinnati, right? I mean, Cincinnati for me puts on a good show. I think the one thing is I can see it even through like the website and the hits and everything. It's kind of everybody's kind of gravitating towards where Federer goes. And, you know, there's years where Federer misses Canada, plays Cincy. And, you know, the first week it's a little bit of a lull. And then Roger Federer is back and then, you know, it goes sky high again. This year with Cincy, obviously, you had Djokovic out, you had Murray out, you had Wawrinka out, you had Cilic out, you had Nishikori out, you had, who else was, I mean, everybody was basically out, right? Federer out, and then, you know, you had Nadal at returning to number one in the world. So we didn't talk about that last week. So he, as of tomorrow, in about 3.5 hours, he will once again be the number one ranked player in the world, which he fully deserves. But you have to think that with him losing in the quarters, convincingly to Nick Kyrgios after he lost last week to Shapovalov doesn't really bode well for Nadal as he enters the U.S. Open as the number one player in the world, right, Parsa? So let's start with that. What's going on here with Rafa? You know, I had some choice words for him before we got on air. I want to hear what your thoughts overall were on the Spaniard.
I mean, what a struggle, huh?
What a struggle, yeah.
It hasn't been a good transition to the hard courts, and you know, there's a couple of things happening. What he changed on clay this year is a couple of things. He's been moving his serve around the box and so therefore holding serve easier, and also trying to rip through his back in a little bit more and changing his court position, two very important pieces of his game. Those two he hasn't found on the hard court yet, and because of that he's getting pushed around. You saw him against Shapovalov, he was way behind the baseline against a guy who has big loopy strokes in which you need to be closer to the baseline to rush him, and instead he's laying back, sort of playing clay court tennis on a hard court, and it just it wasn't a good formula for him. He was making a lot of errors because he was trying to force shots from poor court position, and you know, he wasn't hitting enough first serve. They weren't having enough impact for him to get that look at a second ball. And the same thing really happened in Cincinnati. He just ran into a player hotter than him and fresher than him, and you can't defend. You have to be striking against Nick Kyrgios and push him into the corners and bully him around. Otherwise, he's got way too much firepower if you just lay the ball up. So only pace really can take Kyrgios out on a hard court when he's interested. So those are things to keep in mind, and Rafa's got some work to do in order to make a deep run at the Open. But, you know, we've said this before about the Slams, Nima. You get to play, you know, someone that's not necessarily as good, and you get to gain a rhythm in a Grand Slam. So could he be playing top-notch tennis by the second week? I think absolutely is the answer.
I agree. And, you know, not that you missed it, but it has to be added, the physicality of Grand Slams with best of five sets. To beat Nadal, I mean, Nadal was playing, let's be honest, like garbage last year at the U.S. Open. And I remember I was at that match where he lost to Lucas Pouille in five sets. And, you know, I was texting you saying, listen, you know, this is happening, and like, stay till the end. And I kind of bailed midway through the fifth, I remember, right? And it was, you still got to put that guy away. It was still 7-6 in the fifth set. And Pouille, you know, emptied the tank in that match to make the quarterfinals, right? So, and that was Rafa in that form. Whatever he is right now, he's back to the number one player in the world. Yes, he's lost early both in Montreal and Cincy. But I mean, listen, when you look at the combination of everybody around him who's injured and the fact that, you know, it's the physicality of a Grand Slam, he gets a day off in between. Let's not forget that he had to play Ramos Vinolas earlier in the day, come back at 9 o'clock at night and play Kyrgios. Granted, Kyrgios had to do the same thing, but Nadal is a creature of habit. Right, he doesn't like to play twice a day. That's not what he wants. Like he wants to play his match, go do his rehab, hit. You know what I mean? That's, as you know, he's such a, like, methodical guy, right? Kyrgios is not like that. He's like, okay, let's play three matches in a day. Maybe he doesn't want to play even one, right? Like he's very, you know, spur of the moment type of character, completely opposite of Nadal, who's all about rituals and, you know what I mean, all of those things. So when you look at this, I think that the format of a Grand Slam really suits Nadal, and for that reason you absolutely have to take him very seriously as a contender to win his 16th major. He's definitely not a shoo-in by any means, just because of the court surface and his current form relatively speaking, but we don't really have any form on anybody else. I mean, Federer made the finals of Montreal, didn't play this week. We don't even know where he is right now, at least I don't. And like, is he even in the States? Did he go back to Switzerland, right? Is he in Dubai? What's happening, right? Like, U.S. Open starts in a week. So it's, you know, I mean, there's not that much time left, even though there relatively is. So there's that to think about. Murray is in New York. I saw it on his Instagram feed. He was hitting on Arthur Ashe today. We know Joker is out. Wawrinka's out. Nishikori all have shut down for the year. All former winners or finalists of this tournament coming up. So a lot can happen, man. Let's talk about Grigor Dimitrov. I mean, this guy's coming in, a lot of, you know, major talk around him for how many years now? Granted, yes, it was a diluted field. There wasn't a lot of big name players, but he didn't lose a set all week. You know, and Kyrgios was beating a lot of good guys, and he came in today and he beat Kyrgios again, straight sets, really using and magnifying his athleticism as well as that slice backhand. And I think that's the one knock that you can really, you know, trouble Kyrgios with. Getting that nice low slice backhand, you know, to his backhand where he doesn't really bend his legs. You know, he's got that really flat, straight back, you know, backswing on his backhand. Doesn't really get under the ball to brush it, and that can really disturb him. And you saw that today along with, you know, Grigor's supreme athleticism. So a little bit on, you know, what you thought of Dimitrov. Do you think he can translate this over to New York? Everybody by now knows Parsa. We had a really bad experience with him in the fourth round last year, losing to Murray. What is it, 1-2-1? He was completely done in that match. Can he cast those shadows away and now come in with a fresh mindset, have a lot of confidence, and at least aim for a Final Four finish in NYC?
Well, I think, number one, it's a little bit personal there, right? That Dimitrov match.
Yes.
I'll keep coming back to him. I can't believe won a Masters Series event. You know, he seemingly, it was one of those tournaments that you didn't feel like it was his level of play that won him the tennis. It was more that he was hungrier than everyone else that he played. In each individual matchup, he was the one that displayed the desire to get through to the finish line. And so for that, I think that's huge, you know, in that the mindset and the professionalism that he is required to have at that level is apparent and is there. And so what that means to me is that he's going to put on a great show at the U.S. Open this year, and he is going to overcome the demons of my eyes, but he's still not a contender for me. I don't put him as a guy who can win the thing, But a semifinal this year, I think, is very possible, even a final.
Yeah, and you know what? And you made a good point again a few months ago, I think it was. I want to say it was within the last 5 months or so. And you talked about the technical aspects of his serve. And I really think, you know, he tried to model the serve after the rest of his game after Federer, but he does have a bit of a hitch in that backswing. And I think when push comes to shove, there's something that happens with his elbow and then, you know, with his toss. And he can, and he, even today, he threw in a bunch of doubles, right? And if when he gets nervous, I can't rely on that serve. Like for me, you know, I mean, Kyrgios has a type of serve that, you know, under pressure, he's bringing that heat. You know, Isner can bring it. You know what I mean? You know, guys like that, Federer can bring it. They have that smooth serve, regardless of the ball tosses on those respective three players, that they can bring their serves. But I don't think a guy like Dimitrov, he definitely did it today, served well. He hit some big aces when he needed them, and he can hit 135. But he can also, you know, serve 6-7 double faults. And at this level, that's way too many free points, right? Especially at the wrong time. So I think for me, I agree with you. I don't even put him as a top five favorite to win the U.S. Open, even with the field that is there right now and the withdrawals that we know about as of this moment. I still don't put him as a top five player. I put guys like Zverev ahead of him. You got Nadal in there. You got Fed in there. Murray, I don't know. I mean, even Murray, I would put at this stage ahead of Dimitrov. Because you think about it, Murray hasn't played since Wimbledon. He might be fresh, right? He's physically going to be very hungry and fresh. If his hip is even 80%, I mean, he's going to be dangerous, in my opinion. I think he's going to be one to watch as well, right? And nobody knows what's going on with him, so there's that element of surprise there too, right? Because nobody's seen him for a long time. So there's that part of it. Again, you know, a lot of people listening to the show know how I feel about Nick Kyrgios. He's one of my favorite guys to watch. Brings a lot to the table. Very entertaining. I mean, the guy's just a super showman. He really put it all together this week. And I put up a tweet, Parsa, and I want to hear what you think about this. I don't know if you saw it, but I'm pretty convinced that if Kyrgios played only top 10 players every single round, I'm pretty sure he would be a top 4 player. Because he just gets so up for those matches. The only guy who's got in his head, because he's been nice to him and he practices with him and everything, is Murray. But against everybody else, against Joker, against Nadal, against Fed, against, you know, Wawrinka, he's got good records, man. And he's right there with all of these guys. So I really think that, you know, he can get up for those matches. It's about getting up for those, you know, the lesser players that he has to try to fight through. But, I mean, if he can put it together, I really think he can have a good U.S. Open as well. What are your thoughts on the Australian?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think what his problem is right now is he's going to wear down physically. So,
yes.
You know, can he go best of 5-7 matches? I mean,
no, not 7 matches, but can he put together a decent run? Like make the quarters, make the semis.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. But you know, it's a shame because I think he's ready to win it right now. I don't have any confidence in his body, though.
Exactly. And I don't think he does either. But you know what was interesting for me? We watched a couple weeks ago in D.C., right? He completely tanked against Dennis Sandgren. And people are like, oh, his hip is injured. People are like, what are you talking about? He's got a shoulder problem. I'm like, he's just looking over at his mom saying, I don't want to be here. Like, he's losing to Dennis Sandgren. What was it? 6-3, 3-0, retired. Then he goes to Canada, blows through a couple of his first round matches, and then he had some chances against the Rev. He lost it. He looked okay. And then he comes in this week, plays David Goffin, former top tenner, takes him out easily. Then he had Dolgopolov, who we all know is super tricky, takes him out easily. Then after that, he had Karlovic, who's a nightmare to play in these early rounds. I mean, the guy's just serving out of a tree. He takes him out in 3 after losing the first set. Comes back at night, so he played 5 sets pretty much, 4.5 sets in 1 day, right? He takes out Nadal in straights, comes back the next day, beats a very informed David Ferrer, 6-6, and then he plays Dimitrov today. So when you look at his fitness, not really that bad. And my question for you, Parsa, overall, is how bad can his hip be that he's playing? He played a mix, you know, except for Karlovic. Everybody else he played, very solid from the ground. Guy like Ferrer is going to make you hit a million balls. You know, even a Goffin, even a Dolgopolov. And he's getting through those, didn't really look that injured to me. So I think he's okay. And he's going to have another 7 or 8 days off, depending on when he plays his first round. If it's Tuesday, I mean, he's got, you know, a little bit to go. next week, I think he's going to be good to go. And if he has a good draw, if he can get through those 3-4 matches, like his first three matches in straights, I think he can become dangerous. And if he's serving well, but again, he's not going to win the tournament based merely on somebody that's going to outlast him physically, and then he's going to be done. So what do you think about that overall?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. It's for Kyrgios, it's the body, you know, and it's not much more than that. It's, I do find it a little bit funny, Nima, on a other note.
Yes.
Dimitrov won the tournament and we're sort of bagging him, and then Kyrgios lost in the final and we're sort of lifting him up on a pedestal. It's interesting how sometimes the success at the end of the tournament of holding the trophy isn't necessarily what catches the eye and sort of entices regarding, you know, anything, in this case, the tennis tour, and the future guns. You know, it's, you expect and you want to see Nick Kyrgios later in the stages of matches, as we're talking about TFO
as well. Exactly.
An exciting kid and just new blood, and, you know, they're going to get the crowd going, and they've got this young enthusiasm that is definitely missing right now. You know, a brash younger Djokovic or a Murray who was whining, or, you know, and Nadal who was vamosing everywhere. Those days, these guys have all become gentlemen, and it can be a little bit boring at times. So,
exactly.
It'd be fun to see these guys step it up, and hopefully they do it now. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, man, if you had a situation where you had, you know, like Kyrgios, TFO, Zverev, top three in the world, tennis would be in a good place in my position right now. A lot of people, you can hit me back on that one and disagree or whatever, but I can assure you, you know, what are we all looking for out here? We're looking for tennis to become bigger if you really love the sport. And I really believe that those three guys, they bring that dynamic, because Zverev has such a professional, explosive game. Then you got guys like Kyrgios and TFO that are, you know, super good athletes, you know, showmen, hit amazing shots. I think you would be in an awesome place. So before we move on to, the women's draw, Parsa, and we wrap it up for this week, you know, a couple words on Zverev. So we had Zverev obviously going deep in this tournament, but he didn't. He lost first round to TFO, or second round, after I think Zverev got a bye. So Zverev's going to be fresh now. Probably maybe the best thing that could have happened to him, right? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, he was tired. He was jaded after winning back-to-back in Washington and Montreal, only at the tender age of 20. This guy's not a veteran. I mean, he's still a kid, right? He's coming in. He's going to have a good seating at the U.S. Open, especially with everybody else not there. A lot of attention on him. You know they're going to put him on center court with the new Pharrell gear, Adidas stuff that he's going to be rocking. So there's going to be a lot of expectations on him. And I think, I really hope he does something, because he's great for the game. He's got such a beautiful game to watch. Love watching him hit the ball. I mean, it's just like a thud coming off of his racket on every stroke. Huge serves. And I really like, you know, what guys like him and Kyrgios are doing, because they're really ushering in that next phase of tennis where you're going to see guys hitting second serves over 120. Forget about first serves. Their second serves are 120, 125. And that's what it's going to take now to do it. So I think it's awesome to see. And I just want, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, the early loss for Zverev? Because I personally think that it's, you know, a blessing in disguise for him. I don't think he should sweat it at all, even though he's a very competitive guy. He wants to win every match. I think this is the best thing that could have happened to him, and watch out for him in New York. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely great to conserve energy for a young body like that. He's played a lot of matches, and and a lot of matches he's not used to playing back-to-back like that. So it definitely, if he went too hard, you know, I don't know if it would have affected New York, but he could have got hurt. And so in that way, I do think it is a blessing. And he gets to freshen up, get repaired and healed. I'm sure he's got blisters and just all sorts of little aches and pains going on right now. And he's got to try to get as close to 100% as he can before the tournament starts, and get a couple of good hits in, and get ready for the Open. I think one of these next couple of Grand Slams, I think he's going to win it. So,
yeah,
you know, and New York is usually the one that you can get the shock, you know, with Safin back in the day. And, you know, it's just, people who don't necessarily, you think, are going to be there at the end, they end up winning it, like Cilic. You know, it happens. So watch out for Zverev.
And so, Parsa, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to give you my top five as of today. I mean, obviously, the U.S. Open draw comes out on Friday, and then we'll be doing our preview podcast next week, you know, together live, which is great. My top five, you know, favorites for the U.S. Open right now. I'm still going to go with Fed as number one. I'm going to put Nadal as number two. I'm going to go with Zverev as number three. Now, and this is where it starts getting dicey, right? Because, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I got to go maybe. I can't say Kyrgios top five because, I mean, and you can't say team. I don't think he's going to do anything at the US Open. I think he's going to lose by the third round. I maybe have to go with Kyrgios as number four. And number five, I'm going to have to go with like a wild card, maybe somebody like Isner. Because I don't know who else to really pick at this point because of form. You know, Cilic hasn't played since Wimbledon, even though I know he's playing the U.S. Open. So that's what I got. What do you have as your top five going in right now?
Yeah, I would put Federer at one. I would put Zverev at two. I would put probably, Nadal at three, Kyrgios at four, and Murray at five.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that. So, I mean, we're going to see what happens. I think it's from that perspective, I think it's going to be a good Open. You know what I mean? I really hope Federer is back at 100% because not only is, you know, he's just great for the tournament. There's nothing really else I can say. I mean, people want to come on and see that guy. They're going to come from high and low to make sure that they catch a glimpse of, you know, RF19. So hopefully he's back and ready to go. Okay, Parsa, let's shift gears now to the women's draw. As I mentioned, we had Muguruza taking out Halep in convincing fashion. She follows up a tremendous effort from winning her second slam at Wimbledon and takes home another massive title this week. You know, is Garbine, in your opinion, Parsa, the favorite to win the U.S. Open? Because for me, she certainly is. Again, that doesn't mean anything on the women's side, unfortunately, because it's such an up-and-down affair. But we have to go with what we know at this point. And, you know, Muguruza is the informed player of all of them.
I think Muguruza is definitely the way you got to have to go.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But I think her, Pliskova, I think are and Halep have to be in the discussion. Expect Wozniacki to make a good run. And, you know, the rest, there hasn't been that much consistency. I mean, we know a certain few will battle and will show up. I think Madison Keys will try to make an appearance. I think Venus Williams will try to
Svitolina.
Get in there and get in the action. But as far as Kerber, Kvitova, you know, I think they're non-hopefuls coming to the Open, unfortunately.
I would agree on that. And, you know, it's nice to see Garbine do well because obviously she's very marketable and, you know, very endearing to a lot of different fans. And I mean, she's playing well, and I mean, she's winning. You know, she's got a couple slams now, and we need to build that type of an aura. As you know, Serena Williams is by no means done, but she's definitely towards the latter stages of her career. And you know, I hope she plays another 3-4 years for sure. But we do need some other players out there, you know, battling away and doing some great things. For me, you know, I think Svitolina is another player to look at the Open. You know, she won here last week in Toronto. She's playing well, made, you know, the quarters in Cincy too. So she knows how to win on hard courts. I don't think we can count really on Bouchard to do much. I know she's training, I think, in Bradenton right now. I think she was somewhere in Florida. Oh no, she's in Miami. She's training on center court at the Miami Open. At that venue over there, she's, you know, showing that she's sweating and doing all of this stuff. But I mean, for me, who cares? Everybody's sweating. You know what I mean? Like, who's not working hard out there? You think everybody, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? Go out there and win a couple matches, right? It's like, nobody cares. I mean, definitely people care. But it's, to me, that's not a very impressive thing, you know, to showcase. So we want to see her actually go out there and do something. Hopefully she does with all the fanfare that she gets. But I think overall it was a good tournament. I mean, I think Cincy puts on a great show. I know they're doing about a $25 million renovation for next year. So it's going to be a tremendous facility. I know you went down there a few years back to check it out when you were doing that tour of Newport and Toronto and you went to Cincy. So you probably have some better feedback on that venue than I do. But that was, you know, that was a while back. At this point, you're going to do some serious rentals to it. Do you think, though, that the conditions in Cincy because it's such a hot place. Do you think that that's, it's probably even hotter than in New York, right? Since he's
It is harder. Yeah, definitely harder.
Yeah, so in a way, if you can get through that event, then coming to New York is relatively even easier, right? Because you're not battling the same type of adverse conditions. So if you go in there and you're like, okay, I'm feeling good, and you know what I mean, it's you're good to go. Just one quick thing back to the men's side. That's another thing we got to give a lot of credit to, Parsa. Whatever you want to say about Dimitrov, the guy is fit as a fiddle. And a few years back when he was cramping and all these other things, he's put on some good muscle. He looks super fit, super cut. I mean, the guy is flexible, super flexible. He's right up there with Djokovic, not necessarily at the same level, but he's maybe number two in terms of flexibility. So we got to give Grigor, you know, props for that. And, you know, as we move back to the women's here, I think that, like you said, Kerber for me, not looking that promising. I mean, she just doesn't look like she's feeling it. You know what I mean? There's so much uncertainty in her game, and she's the defending champion. So, I mean, she's going to lose a ton of points if she, you know, she goes out early here. Wozniacki, I think she can go deep, but not, I mean, semis for her would be tremendous. Muguruza, again, she's going to do some damage. Konta's got a good hardcore game. Kuznetsova, another player to watch out for. You know, how about Ostapenko, right? Had a very mediocre summer, Parsa, after winning the French. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on her. And you know that they're not really going to put her on any major courts. So you might catch her on, you know, like a smaller court at the U.S. Open, and she's a reigning French Open champion. And, you know, she might lose, she might win. That might be even better for her. I don't know. If they put on Arthur Ashe, that might freak her out a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen. But with that said, my top five right now for winning the U.S. Open on the women's side, before obviously we see the draw, is Muguruza number one, Pliskova number two, Halep number three, Svitolina number four, and my number five pick, I'm going with Venus Williams. What do you have?
Yeah, I have Muguruza one, Svitolina two,
yeah,
Pliskova three, Halep four, and I'm going to go with a little bit of a wild card and say I can't find a scenario that Wozniacki will win. I'm going to go with Ostapenko.
Yeah, it's not a bad draw. She plays fearless. And she has to bring exactly the same attitude that she had, you know, in France to New York. And I'll say,
yeah, maybe the energy in New York will do it. But I was also thinking, you know, maybe not, because the wind of New York can also undo her. So
the wind, and still not a fan of her serve. And I think that serve on a hard court is just not going to get it done. I mean, there's too many girls out there who can hit some bigger serves that are going to be able to trouble her and then attack her and put her in defensive position. Yeah, she's going to be able to tee off. But anyways, this year is a bonus for her. I mean, she's not going to, even if she loses first round of the U.S. Open, she's not going to go home and, you know, cry under a pillow. Like, she's like, okay.
This is another one that Serena would have won, though.
Yeah, but we could say that about every tournament, right? It's just like, it's going to be interesting. I mean, listen, if she comes back at the Australian Open next year, you know, after giving birth in, what is it, next month now, right, in October. Well, basically about almost a month, in about 6 weeks. If she comes back and she wins the Australian Open in January, to me, it's going to be one of the most remarkable stories ever in tennis. Because, I mean, you know, just the champion of champions, really. And you got to take your hats off to Serena. I mean, she just gets through everything. You know, beautiful things, bad things, whatever it is. She's right back out there, you know, kicking your butt. And it's great to see. And it's I mean, obviously very good for the women's game because she's such a top draw card. One player, Parsa, that we have to watch out for, too, is we didn't mention Maria Sharapova. She's ranked, what, like 168 in the world? 148, 168? I know it's one of those two. And she's going to be coming in to New York as a wild card. Let's just end off with that, actually, the wild card controversy. So Sharapova gets a wild card. I completely think it's okay. Like everybody knows, the only issue I had was at the beginning of the year where, you know, she came back and she was halfway through Stuttgart. You know, she was banned for the first 3 days, and then she was able to play on Wednesday. I thought that was bogus, to be honest with you. But other than that, you know, it's good. She's good to go. She can play anything, and believe me, the tournament needs her. So I think the U.S. Open is really happy that she's going to be there. Hopefully she's healthy. because she's had this left arm injury now for a few weeks. She's been out of action, so let's see how she rebounds. And then on the men's side, I cannot believe that they didn't give Denis Shapovalov a wild card. I mean, the guy's ranked 67 in the world, super entertaining to watch. You know people in New York are going to love this guy, and you're putting him in qualies. In your opinion, is that a bad move by the USTA? I know they got to get the U.S. players in, then they got the reciprocals with the other majors, but in your opinion, everything that's transpired with Shapovalov in Montreal, don't you have to get this guy into the U.S. Open, main draw?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, and why is that?
To be honest with you. You know, yeah, he's in form, but all his results are in Canada so far.
That's a good point.
His ranking has to earn him into where he is. So if he deserves to be there, he'll qualify, Nima. Don't worry about it.
That's a great point, yeah. And I believe qualifying will start Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, because the USTA has things that are all pre-planned, you know, so they would have to take a year's work, you know, and give a wild card over, an American player who's deserving of it, because one goes to the NCAA champion, one goes to the junior champion, one goes to the one reciprocal, the Australian one, then the French one. And so already I've got it down to three or four. And then you got these young upstarts that you need to get the U.S. Open experience to try to get a championship for your country. I don't know. It's going to be hard to do that for, you know. Now, if he had gone and he won Montreal and then semied in Cincinnati, then I would say, okay, well, you know, there's something to that, you know. But
he
had a match against a terrible Nadal, and he made a deep run. Played some good tennis in front of his hometown crowd. It's not the first time I've seen that, you know. So
you're totally right. If he deserves to be in the tournament, he's going to beat three guys and get in. So we'll see how that unfolds. With that, we conclude this week's show. Parsa and I will be back next Sunday to preview the U.S. Open. We'll both be in New York, so that'll be great for everybody out there. I know there'll be no audio issues. Hopefully there isn't any anymore. So everybody watch out for that one. In the meantime, you can follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as our website, Tennis Connected. For anybody this week that is in Stowe, Vermont, make sure to hit up that exhibition that they have going from Tuesday until Thursday. It's going to be awesome. I saw Pospisil practicing out there today. TFO is going to be in it. Jared Donaldson. You got Chardy. You got Ramos Fonoles. Tommy Haas, who's, you know, I think he's going to just be playing a couple more tournaments until he's completely done playing tennis. So that's going to be awesome to see. And then next week, obviously, we have the U.S. Open. So for anybody looking to get down to that tournament, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Parsa, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Make sure to also download and subscribe to us on iTunes. And have a great week. Looking forward to the U.S. Open draw, being in New York, and we will chat with you guys in 7 days' time. Talk soon. Bye-bye.